Yeah, that's very nice to lead us into the next passage. Why don't we turn our attention to verses 11 through 16. You can see how impatient my brothers are up here to move into that passage. They've already alluded to it two or three times. No, not impatient. It's just such a wonderful passage. We can't help ourselves, right?
So hurry up.
So, Tim has already mentioned, and other references too. We've already kind of touched in some of our comments on the fact that there are these gifts. There is the increase of the body. There is the head. And I'd like to continue as in the manner that we have. What do these things tell us about the supply of unity, the strengthening of unity? So feel free to use those phrases or others that you see. Using this set of six verses now, what is it that we learn about the supply of unity that's going to have an impact on us practically in our perspective on how this unity is supplied and strengthened?
But only just one verse.
Anywhere in that passage.
Yeah, but it's nice because we read about we were just speaking about the grace shown to us, right? And the grace for living, and in God's sovereign and in His kindness, and as Mark was saying, we've been granted these things, and our mind automatically says, okay, sweet, you know, this is something that I can hold on to. This is mine, right? But then, right when you get into these verses, right after it lists off these different gifts, right after, it says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, right? It's not, and for the building up of the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with yourself at all, right? It's absolutely not related to that at all, but it's almost as if the Lord's saying, this is, yeah, here, I'm giving this to you, but, you know, now use it for this. And it has nothing to do with enjoying it or keeping it for yourself. It's all outward. It's all outward. So, yeah.
That really is essential, I think, in this whole outlook, because as it says also in 1 Peter chapter 4, minister to one another as you have received it. You are stewards. You are managing something you have received, and it should be there should be an outflow to one another. And if you look at the gifts, really, they all have, they depend on the existence of others. You say to somebody, hey, what do you do? Oh, I'm a shepherd. Oh, how big is your flock of sheep? I'm thinking naturally now. Oh, I don't actually have any sheep. I'm just a shepherd. I walk around the fields with, you know, shepherd's tools, and I'm kind of like practicing being a shepherd. If you're not actually doing anything with sheep, you're not really a shepherd, right? Here's a teacher sitting in the classroom. There's no students. It's much easier that way, right? I'd like to be a teacher. I'd like to sit in the classroom. Don't give me any students. Well, then you're not really a teacher. These gifts, they only make sense in the context of a community, in the context of ministering to one another. And we'll come back to that thought a little later, too. But I think that's an excellent observation. What else could we add from that passage?
Well, just one comment from what Mark was saying. If we live under the law, then it's us that's doing it. But when it's grace, we have nothing to do with it. We haven't deserved it. We can't earn it. No matter what we do, we could be perfect. I mean, even being sinless, we still would have earned it. So it has to be grace.
Could we just repeat the question?
The question is just the application of this passage to our theme. Our theme is, how is that unity supplied? How is it strengthened? How is it kept strong? How does it have a source of ongoing strength? How is it put in practice? And what do you see in this passage that is linked with that? We had the point that it's for one another. That promotes unity. When we accept the gifts that we have been given and we use them for others, that is a supply of unity because we have others in view, as an example.
I think what we get here is that there's a plan in mind, because he didn't give everyone apostles, the gift of evangelism or the gift So we have Christ on high now looking at it. And so he's looking at the picture, and he desires unity much more than we do. And he's the one that's working for it. So if you look at what the Apostle Paul said, you know, he talked about, well, Apollos watered, and he just, everyone had a different responsibility toward the end. I'm talking about Corinthians. The whole quote escapes me right now. But essentially, when there's a need, he's going to supply it, and he's going to supply it specifically. He could make everyone well equipped with, okay, I'm an apostle, I'm also a prophet, I'm an evangelist, and just everyone in. Well, it's a mess. It's not going to accomplish anything, because now you have a room full of apostles and nothing's going to get done. But if there's a specific need, he, for the strengthening of the unity, he is going to supply that specific need in a perfect way with a, you know, there's strategy involved in this, it seems. There's an overview plan, and so he's going to give, one, the gift that is needed, where it is needed, and he's going to supply that need perfectly. And really, it subtracts us completely from the picture. And it's just that I'm given a gift, I am responsible to cultivate that gift in myself, and when the need makes itself known to me, I'm to utilize what he's given me.
It just looks like there's some gifts here a little different. And each one of us is given a gift. But then the next gifts are given, if you will, they're individuals given to the assembly. Mm-hmm. And now we mentioned the apostles and prophets. If we back up to Ephesians 2 and 20, it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we don't have prophets. We don't have apostles no more. They've laid, if you will, Jesus Christ is the foundation. They've laid it out for you. You know, the prophets witness up to the point of Christ. The apostles were eyewitnesses of Christ. And now, for us, as the assembly, we know Jesus Christ is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So these men, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are given to the assemblies to help us to grow and to strengthen us. They're building the structure, if you will. It comes in verse 21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And so that's the gift here of these people. But as we mentioned, we each have a gift. And how do we know that gift? The brothers are taught to ask the Lord to show you what your gift is. You know, continue doing what you're doing. If you see something in the Word and it strikes your heart, just start doing it. And the Lord will make it open to you what he's given you. And so,
you know, as we read this, and going back to the comments there, we look at the church as a living entity. It's living. And eventually, if you look at, and I'm not sure if Steve wants to go this way or no, but the purpose ultimately of all these gifts is to enable us, it says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. God wants us to grow up, to mature. And it goes on to say, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the purpose of all these gifts, obviously, is to glorify Christ, but to help each of us to grow, to be obviously more like the Lord Jesus.
I was wondering if we could look at some aspects of 12, because I'm seeing three facets to it. And usually when we have an order in Scripture, it's really important that we look at the aspects of the order of it. So the first thing that we see in verse 12 is the perfecting of the saints. And when I look at the Greek word there, I'm seeing like a furnishing, equipping, and that is the supply for the saints. And then in the next portion, we have the work of the ministry, and that is speaking about the occupation. So now we've been furnished with these particular things, and now we're occupied about these things. And then when we get to the final part of the verse, we have edification, which is talking about the building up. And then the ultimate result, I guess, is really the building up of the body there. And I guess that leads to it.